Let's begin. The first question we need to discuss is to who does or what does Pas Akum apply to? When we say we know it applies to a guy, it's very clear that we're not going to have the bread of a non-Jew, but the question is, what type of non-Jew? All non-Jews? What if someone is like a non-Jew? So in order to understand that, we need a little bit of background. The Gemara said in Lamed Heyam Beis that it's Asur Midarabanan to have the bread of a guy because of chasnas, because of intermarriage, that you're going to marry this guy. So the Ramban and the Ran here both ask, how come we're not concerned with Giulei Akum? Giulei Akum means that the bread is going to be made in the kalim, in the vessels of a guy, and there's going to be blios that are going to be not kosher from the guy going into the bread. So they explain that the even though the food is potentially being cooked in something, in a kli that's usur, in this case, we're not concerned because we have a sheet of stam kli ena ben yomo that we assume that kalim have not been used within 24 hours. And the halacha is that if something is outside of 24 hours, then the bli is pagum; it's not considered effective anymore. And therefore, we don't have an issue. Everything's going to be nosin tam lefgam, and therefore we're not going to care about the kli anymore. And even if he cooked a pig in the kli, last week, it's not going to make a difference because the tam is going to be pugum, and it's not going to be affected as well. The Meiri elaborates on this as well. Quotes a sheet of the Ravid. The Ravid seems to be machma for this, but this is not quoted by anybody else. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh wrote a perish on Shulchan Aruch. It's called the Pre-Toar. So the Pre-Toar is the parish of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, and in the Pre-Toar here in Kuf Yud Beis Gimel, so he notes that the Gemara on Lamed Vavam Beis says that Pas Akum is Usur because Shema you're going to have their wine, and then the wine is Usur because you might have Chasnus, you might intermarry, and then why is it Usur to marry a non-Jew? So the Gemara seems to say, it's not a discussion right now, but because they will lead you to Avodah Zarah. Meaning, Be'etzem on its own, marrying the non-Jew is not what the Gemara's concern is, but it's going to lead you to future Avodah Zarah if you marry the guy. So based on this, says the Pre-Tawar, the halacha of Pas Akum should only apply to someone who's who? That's Oved Avodah Zarah. Because if the whole thing at the end of the day is worrying that you're going to worship Avodah Zarah, so then if I'm going to marry someone, if I'm never going to worship Avodah Zarah, so then why should I be concerned? Why should I care? That's the question of the Pre-Tawar. And what would be the nafkamina? By a Muslim. The assumption is that Islam is not Avodah Zarah. The Rambam and the Morne Avuchim discusses the idea of whether it's possible to believe in the same God, even though you come from different perspectives. So the assumption is that we believe in the same God, we just have a different derech how to get there. So Islam is not considered Avodah Zarah. And based on this, the Pre-Tawar seems to say that perhaps you could have the bread baked by a Muslim, because that would not be Avodah Zarah. The Pre-Tawar rejects this. And he says that that's an incorrect reading of the Gemara. The fact that the Gemara says that it leads you to Avodah Zarah is two separate things. The Pre-Tawar explains that Pas Akum is usur because of chasnas. Pas Akum is usur because you might marry a guy on its own, on the side. And the other idea of yichud, the fact that you might be with a guy, with a non-Jew, and that's usur because it might lead you to Avodah Zarah. But it's not A plus B plus C will get you to D. It's A and B, and then C and D. Meaning, the fact, it's an isur on its own that you might marry a non-Jew, says the Pre-Tawar. Eating Pas Akum is an independent issue that's going to lead you to marry a non-Jew. And that's on the side. And marrying a non-Jew is an independent issue that's going to get you to Avodah Zarah. But the two things are not connected. The two things are separate. And therefore, says the Pre-Tawar Halach LaMaisa, one cannot have the bread baked by a Muslim. This is cited by the Darkei Tshuva in Sifkata Dalet. The Chsam Sofer, which is only in the backs of the new snazzy Shulchan Aruchs. So the Chsam Sofer has Chidushim. They wouldn't have them for a very long time, and then they were published in London like 100 years ago, and now they've been included in the back. So the Chsam Sofer writes here something very important when it comes to this. He says, V'od nir ali chadashim mikarov bo umos hamema'asim ba'avodah zarah shalhem mikol v'kol uma'aminim b'bori achad. Even if we all believe in the same God, el she'minim uma'aminim b'deos nishchasos mafsideh hadassos v'abunos kulam. Even if someone believes in our God, but they have raw, bad amuna, bad deos, bad hashkafa, so says the Chsam Sofer, it's still the pasakim still applies to them as well. It has nothing to do with going to Avodah Zarah. Even if the person is just going to have bet hashkafos, then that person, their bread is going to be usher to have, which is going to be a nafkamina in a moment regarding a mum or someone who's not from. The Ben Ishchai also writes in Shana Beis Parshas Chukas Oshei as well that you cannot have the bread of a Muslim. So, Muslims on the side. Next. The Mechaber here says in the beginning, Asu chachamim le'achol pas shel amamim ovdei Avodah Zarah mishum chasmas. And the Rambam and the Rashba say that Chazal only forbade bread that was baked by the guy. Only if it was baked. The Torah says, even if the bread was owned by a guy, if a Jew baked it and then it was given to a guy and then the guy gave it to you as a present or a gift or sold it to you, so the Torah says that would be usher as well. The halacha, the Rambam, the Ramas, the halacha is that we follow like the Rambam, and if the guy owns the bread, that's not sufficient. The Ramas says here, va'afilu b'makom d'leika mishum chasas aser, even if there's no chance you're ever going to marry Mr. Wonder Bread's daughter. Wonder Bread is kosher, I think, but it's not Jewish bread. So even if you're going to marry his daughter, so that's still going to be a problem. There's no possible way you could ever marry into the family. So what's the example? So the Shach says over here, in Sifkat and Dalid, Kugon Pas Hakumarim, like the bread baked by a priest. The priests are not supposed to have children. They're not supposed to have children. So if you if that's the case, so why can I buy the bread from a priest? Because he has no daughter. He has no son. What's the issue of intermarrying here? So the Shach and the Tazbo say it's a low plug. The Gzeir is, no matter where you're coming from, no matter what's going on, even if it's impossible that you'd ever want to have any children, or they're impossible to ever marry anyone of their children, it would be usser as well. And the Chassam Sofer goes as far to say in Sifkatsanei here, that even if the person is a saris, the person is physically incapable of ever having a child, still, it's usher to have pasakim. That's the extent of the low plug. That's how far we go when it comes to the low plug of the halacha. Even if it would be physically impossible to ever consummate the marriage or ever be together, still, the low plug says that you cannot have the bread of the guy. Next, let's discuss the issue of a mumar, the issue of someone who is not from. So the Pisgei Teshuva here in Sifkat and Aleph quotes the Teferes Lamoshe, which is also in the back of the Shulchan Aruch. So he cites the Beis Yosef, who says, so when it comes to Bishul Akum, when it comes to eating, we're going to have to differentiate between Bishul and Pas later on, but when it comes to Bishul Akum, regular cooked food of a guy, so there's two reasons as why we're not allowed to have it. One is they might give you tarfus, they might feed you food that's not kosher. And the other reason is because you might marry. Those are the two reasons given by the Beis Yosef. So says the Teferes Lamoshe over here, when it comes to bread, did the Gemara ever, or any of the Rishonim ever raise any issue that they might feed you something non-kosher? Does that come up anywhere? Does anybody see that? No, you did not see that. So there's no issue of they might feed you something non-kosher. So if the only issue, says the Teferes Lamoshe, is that you might marry, so what's the problem? You might marry someone who's not from. Okay, there's nothing in the Torah that says you can't marry someone who, a Jew, who's not from. And therefore, says the Teferes Lamoshe, that you can have the bread of a mumar, someone who left Torah mitzvot, because there's no issue of chasness. You're allowed to marry such a person. This is cited here by the Pisgei Teshuva, as we said. And the Chazon Ish, in Yoredei Beis Chaf Gimel, notes a steer in the Pisgei Teshuva. Sometimes the Pisgei Teshuva seems to say that maybe by a mumar it is a problem, and sometimes he seems to indicate that it's not. So what's the sheet of the Chazon Ish? So you have to look in the Orchos Rabbeinu. The Orchos Rabbeinu are the five volume collections of ideas from the Stipler and the family of Chazon Ish, written by the Talmud of the Stipler. So he writes in Chelek Gimel, on page Ayin Tes, that the Chazon Ish was makel when it came to bread baked by someone who was not from. It tells a Maisa that there was someone in Bnei Brak who had diabetes and they only could get bread from a bakery in Tel Aviv that had the special type of bread that was good for the person with diabetes, and they weren't from, and the Chazon Ish said, it's 100% not a problem. Lamaisa, he felt there was no issue with bread baked by someone who's not from, because what's going to happen? So you'll marry them, and you'll have a nice wedding. Rav Moshe as well, in the Gros Moshe Yerodea, Aleph Mem He says V'tam Machmirin Tamua. He thinks it's a big chiddush to be machmir in this regard. What's the big deal? If the person's not from, you can certainly eat their bread. And Ravad Yosef and Yavia Omer Chelakei. And again, in the Halichos Olam, is his perish on the Ben Ishchai in Chelak Zion. Ravad Yosef says you can have the bread of someone who is not from, who is way, way off the derech. However, there are machmirim. The Pri Chadosh writes in Sifkat and Beis here that when it comes to the Karaites, that their bread is considered like the bread of a guy. And the tshuva, he cites the tshuvas of the Mabin Aleph Lamed Ches, quoting Rabbeinu Shimshon, that since they are mechalo the moados, what does it mean the Karaites are mechalo the moados? They don't follow our calendar exactly, and they don't keep Yontif Sheni and all the Dinei Darabanan that comes with the Yontif. So since they're mechalo the moados, it's as if they're also Mechal Shabbos Bifar Hesed. It's the same thing. A person who doesn't keep Yontif properly, says the Mabit, is also a person who's Mechal Shabbos Bifar Hesed. And therefore, he says that we have to treat them like a guy. And this is cited here by the Prima Gadim in Sifkat and Beis. The Prima Gadim says that Upas Karaim Asr de Mechal and Shabbos Have a guy. They are like a guy. At the Kitter Shulchan Aruch, in the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, Ayin Beis Aleph writes, V'chol Mechal Es HaShabbos Bifar Hesed. Anyone's machal Shabbos in public is like a guy. Im nogea b'yayin osro v'hapas shu ofe have kmo pas shu'ove kachavim. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says clearly, the bread made by someone who's machal Shabbos has the status of bread made by a guy. And the Maharam Shik and Reish Pei Aleph cites the Teferis Lamosha, and he questions the premise based on the Gemara in Chulin Daf Dal. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Dal, there's a whole discussion regarding Yehoshaphat and Achav. They were the two kings in the Eretz Yisrael and Yehuda, and they had a whole meeting together, and the Pasuk seems to record that Yehoshaphat drank Achav's wine. Achav is a Rasha. We all know that, right? Achav is a Rasha. We've heard this before. So he drank Achav's wine. So the Gemara wants to know, how could it be that Yehoshaphat drank Achav's wine? Achav was a mamash over Avodah Zarah. How could you drink the wine of someone who's over Avodah Zarah? So the Gemara says that the din of Yayin, of Stam Yenam, didn't come into effect until the days of Beisham and Beis Hillel, way after the fact, and therefore Yehoshaphat could have the wine. So the Ran there in the Gemara in the Chulin says that there is no gzeira against marrying a mumar, but the mumar is like a guy in all other areas. You're allowed to marry a mumar, but he's like a guy in all other areas, and therefore the Maharam Shik says that if the wine of a mumar is going to be treated like the wine of a guy, so what's the difference between the bread of a guy as well? If he's like a guy in all other areas, so the bread should also be asr. And the Maharam Shik says the bread baked by someone who is a mamar, someone who leaves Torah mitzvos, should certainly not be kosher and should not be eaten. Also, the Yehudi Yalin Simon Laman Aleph says that learns that the Pri Chadosh would forbid pas mamar because they are dino kagai. The mamar is mamish like a guy in all cases. Halacha lamaisa. The Avnei Nezer also cites the Teferis Lamosha. The Avnei Nezer is in Yeredeh Tzadi Beis, and he begins to question the idea, is it true that you're not allowed to marry someone who's a mumar? Are you allowed to marry someone who's not from? So it's not so pasha. The Maharam Shik seems to say that you're not allowed to, because the pasuk says, Ki asir bin chame acharei Hashem. You can't marry someone who's not Jewish because they're going to take you away from Hashem. So what's the difference between someone who's not from, someone who left the Derech? They're also going to marry them, they're going to take you away from Hashem. So the Maharam Shik seems to imply that you cannot marry someone who's not from. This is not halacha l'maisa at all, though. The Chasam Sofer and the Orach Chaim and his Perush on Chulin both explain that very clearly we can marry someone who is off the Derech, someone who is not from. Okay? So, who else is Machmer? Rav Menashe Klein? Yeah.
Also, are we equating all going with a mumar? I mean, those two different things, sort of.
So the din is mumar is kagai. There is a difference.
No, I'm saying, sorry. All non-religious Jews.
No, no. We'll discuss Bisman Azah in a second. Okay. So Menashe Klein is Machmer and Yud Aleph Kuf Yud Aleph and Mishnah Halachos and two other places. Yud Gimel Kuf Kaf Beis and Yud Zayin Kuf Pei Dalid also be Machmer for the bread of a non someone who's not from. Rosh Sternbach writes in the Chuvas Vanagos Chelik Aleph Simen Tuf Ayin that if the person is a Tinok Shenishba. If the person doesn't know any better, they grew up in an environment that wasn't from. So he says, b'shas ha'dchak, if a person is in a tight situation, you can have their homemade bread, and that would not be a problem. But he thinks in all other cases, it should be avoided. So l'maisa b'zman hazeh, do we treat every single person who's not from as a tinok shenishba? Do we treat them as they know what they're doing? So that's a whole discussion. Maybe it depends on Eretz Yisrael, maybe it depends on America. But lemaisa, I don't really think it's an issue at all, because I think halacha lemaisa, it's clear that we should not be machmer for the bread of a guy. Rav Asher Weiss, Nimin Chasasher, and Dvarim, in Simon Hay. And also Rav Shechter says very clearly that we are not machmer when it comes to the bread of someone who's not from, and that would mean, lemaisa, that if your neighbor, who is not from, made you bread, and they brought it over to your house, so it would not be an issue of pas akum. Now, do you have to be concerned about geulei akum? I don't know. It seems from if the Ramban says we're not choshesh here by a guy, so maybe we would say kal v'chomer by a Jew. It wouldn't be a problem. But I have to imagine that someone might be uncomfortable to have the bread that was made by your neighbor, and you don't know what's going on in the ovens. But it doesn't come up so often. Yeah. Jewish-owned bread that was baked by a guy in his house, like personal. It's a weird case, meaning we haven't gotten to pas palsa yet.
Jew-owned bread that bread wasn't baked by him; it was baked by a guy.
Like he went to a non-Jewish bake sale.
Yes, I'm just saying, is it dafka that the guy owns the bread, or is that including baked?
I'm saying we don't pass like the tour. What would the tour say? I don't know. I'm not sure what the tour would say. He's very bekitzer. He doesn't really explain it so well. I'm not sure. Okay, what about a ger? A ger converts, right? And he has daughters who did not convert. So are you allowed to have his bread? So the Sfarim say that as Pasha you can eat the bread, since the Gzeira was never made against Jews. If the ger, even though the ger has non-Jewish daughters, and he's Jewish, there's no such thing as a Gzeira being made against someone who is Jewish. Let's get to the following interesting case. Let's say a guy bakes bread, and then he converts the next day. Can he eat the bread he made while he's a guy? It's a good shaila. Okay? He makes bread while he's a guy, and he converts to Judaism, and now he's Jewish. Can he eat his own bread? So this question is raised in the Divrei Chaim, which is a Chidush Shaman of Avodah Zarah. So he leaves as a Tzarachian. So the Shulchan Aruch, later on, Kuf Yuf Beis Zion, says that we designate the bread based on when it was baked. So since it was baked when he was a guy, maybe there's certainly room to be machmer. So this question actually comes up in other areas. There's something called Masechtos Ketanos. They're small Masechtos of Divrei Chazal that were put together in the period of the Gaonim. So in Masechtos Gerim in Perakei, in Halacha Hay, so it says there that if a ger converts and he had wine in his house, so he is allowed to have the wine himself, but it's usher for others. And Rabbi Akiva says it should be usher for everyone, even him. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky has a perush on Masechtos Gerim. And there he notes there's other places as well. This is cited by Tosefta and Yerushalmi and Erevin. And the Rambam in Hilchos Mitame Mishkov, Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Zayin, has the following case. Let's say a person is an Am Haaretz. We know that an Am Haaretz is not trusted when it comes to Trumas and Maisras. And the Am Haaretz has Trumas and Maisras. And then all of a sudden he says, I want to be a Chaver. I want to be someone who's going to be very makbid when it comes to the issues of Trumas and Maisras. So is he allowed to go and eat the stuff that he had in his house before? The same question. It's just like the bread. It's just like the wine. A person becomes a frumer or a Jewish. Can they go back and have what was there before? So it's mashur from the entire discussion here about the taros and the wine that it's only a question is whether he's ne'aman. Is he ne'aman to say I didn't touch the wine when I was a guy? Is he ne'aman to say that I separated trumas and maestras? But if we know for sure that he did touch it, if he did touch the wine, if we know for sure that he that he touched the wine, so the wine doesn't become mutter. No one says that if a guy touched wine and then converted, he's allowed to have his wine. The whole question is, he na'aman to say that he didn't touch it. So it would be, it seems to be over here as well, if the guy bakes bread and then he converts, he's not allowed to, because it's a chefetz shel iser. It was made usser when he bakes it in the first place. Yeah.
That was just their
chasna,
so why are the two cases similar?
Because it's a chefza shel iser. We'll see in a second that the pas akum sin could be a chefza shel iser. When it's designated, when it's baked by the guy, it becomes pas akum.
Something where we say it's low plug.
Correct. Okay, the low plug would seemingly apply as well. What about a mamzer? So the Sefer Cheker Halacha, which is like a kind of encyclopedic work that works out P. Aleph Beis, so he writes in Os Beis, that even though we're not allowed to marry a mamzer, we can eat the bread baked by a mamzer. Why? Because we said already that there's no gzeira on a Jew. There's never going to be a gzeira against a Jew. And therefore, if a mamzer bakes the bread, you're allowed to marry... You're not allowed to marry a mamzer. If a mamzer bakes bread, you're allowed to have the bread baked by the mamzer. This is cited by the Darchei Tshuva as well. And it's also the opinion of Chaim Knievsky, not in some weird sefer where they asked him 100 questions, but in his own writing, in his Perish on Maseches Kusim in Perek Beis, Osman Beis, Ruchayim Kanievsky says that there's no gzeir of bishul mamzerim, even though it's usher to marry them. So if a mamzer were to bake you something, then you would be allowed to eat it as well. Which will bring us now to a very interesting question regarding another issue with pasakum. Let's say you see someone who's eating pasakum. You see someone who's eating bread baked by a guy, but they don't know that they're eating pasakum. Do you have to tell them? They think that it was made by a Jew. So do you have to tell them? Where do we have a similar shaila? What? We have a similar shaila oral and chutz laretz. Where do we have a shaila lemaisa Shulchan Aruch? So we have the same shaila in Hilchos Nida, which we'll discuss in a second, also in Hilchos Avelis. So this question is discussed by Rechaim Palagi in his Shuvos Chikike Lev in Simen Chaf Dalet, and repeated again in his Perush in Yerodea, the Rechaim, here in Kuf Yud Beis. And he cites a number of sources indicating that you don't have to tell the person who's eating Pasakum if they don't know. So he gives the first halachas as follows. The Rama writes in Kuf Sadi Hei Dalet in Hilchos Nida that we know that a husband is not allowed to eat the leftovers of his wife if the wife is a nida, okay? Because that creates a kirov and an ahava between the husband and wife to share food, right? So therefore, you're not allowed to eat the leftovers of your wife. It only goes husband to wife, not wife to... It only goes that the husband's not to eat it, not the wife. So the halacha says, the Rama is, that if the wife walks into the room and sees the husband eating her leftovers, but he doesn't know that it's her leftovers from that meal, so then she doesn't have to say anything. Why? Because there's no kiruv hadas. There's no connection between the two. They have he has no idea what he's doing. And the same thing would be as well by an avel. If, let's say, a person loses a karov, and they don't know that they lost the relative, that they'd have to observe avelis for, but someone else does know. So you're allowed to take that person to a chasna. You're allowed to say, oh, we have to pick you up for the chasna. You know the person lost a relative. They don't. You're allowed to pick them up, take them to a chasna, dance for 2 hours and go back home, and then tell them afterwards, oh, by the way, you are in avelis because you lost someone. Because they don't understand. They don't know what they're doing. It's not an issue. If you don't know what you're doing, there's no issue at all. It's not lifnei iver because the person doesn't have a din of avelis until you hear something, right? We know there's something called shmur krova, shmur rechoka. Until you hear about the avelis, there's no avelis. It's not you're withholding something from them. It's not that you're causing them to do something wrong. There's no chalos of avelis until the person knows. And the same thing would be with a husband and wife to have tashmish as well. If the wife knows that the husband lost a karov, they're allowed to be together even though the husband technically has lost a karov. However, there seems to be one case that indicates the other way. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Shechita in Perek Zayin that we know there's only one area of the animal we check. There are hundreds of possible trefos. What's the only part of the animal we check? The lungs, okay? So the Rambam says that one of the issues on the lung that have to be checked is whether there's a boil on that or not, some type of growth on the lung. So the Rambam says that not all boils are usher. It depends where the boil sits on the lung. So the Gemara Tosas and Chulam Mem Zayin says that if the boil appears on the extremity of the lung, on the shipule hareya, on the outsides of the lung, towards the ends of the bottoms of the lung, so then something like that makes the animal treif. And this is brought lahalach and Shulchan Aruch and Yoredeya Lamed Zayin. Now, the Mordechai writes in the beginning of Yevamos, let's say that there's a community. For example, in Magensa, they were machmer about this. But in Worms, they were not machmer about this checking of the boil on the lung. So the Mordechai writes in Yevamos, let's say someone from Magensa who was machmer for this issue of checking the lung comes to Worms. Do you have to tell him when you're about to feed him this thing that we didn't check? So the Mordechai says, of course you have to tell him. So the Chikkei Leif says, well, maybe this will indicate to you that if the person doesn't know that he's eating something, that's questionable, you don't have to tell him. So the Chikkei Leif says that's ridiculous because we're talking about something that's usur. It's an isser to eat something that's not kosher. We're here, we're talking about gzeros, right? By nida, not having the leftovers is a gzera. So here, by the pasakim as well, it's the din of a gzera. He cites another Gemara in Erevin, Samach Davim Abeis. It tells the following Maisa. The Gemara says that Rav Gamliel was riding on a donkey and he had his Talmud, Rav Eli, with him. And they found bread in the middle of the street. So Rav Eli was about to eat it and Rav Gamliel said, no, you can't eat it because the majority of the people in this community are Goyim. And therefore you're not allowed to eat it, but we have to assume that it's Pas Akum. And they traveled a little bit more and they came across a guy, and Rav Gamliel turned to the guy and he said, Mavgai, which was the guy's name, here's your bread, and Eli is going to give it to you. So Rav Eli was a little freaked out, because how did he know this guy's name? So he said, did you ever meet Rav Gamliel? He says, no, I have no idea who this guy is. So Rav Eli figured out that Rav Gamliel had Ruach HaKodesh, and he knew this guy's name just through Ruach HaKodesh. So Eli says, we learn from here a number of things. One, that Rav Gamliel has Ruach HaKodesh. Two, that if you find bread in the street, if it's Rov Goyim, then the bread is Pasakum. And if it's Rov Yisrael, then the bread is fine in the community. And then he says, from here, that we follow Rov when it comes to this halacha. So the Chikkei Leiv asks, what's the proof that we follow Rov? Rav Gamliel didn't know not to eat the bread because of Rov. Rav Gamliel knew not to eat the bread. Why? Because he had Ruach HaKodesh. So what's the proof? What's the raya that he had that you don't follow a guy? So the Chikkei Leiv says that there's no reason to tell anyone that they're eating Pasakum if they don't know it. And he says, therefore, based on Ruach HaKodesh alone, he didn't have to tell him that he was eating Pasakum. But he wanted to teach him the halacha that you follow the rov when it comes to deciding what the bread is. And therefore, says the Chikkei Leiv, we see from here that if you see someone eating bread that's from a guy, you don't have to tell them if they don't know. However, some of the posts disagree. The Shemana Mishka writes here in Yoredeya Kuf Yud Gimel that it depends on whether Machali Akum is in Isser Chefza or not. This is a Machlokus between the Ra'ah and the Rashba. The Ra'ah says it's not in Isser Chefza, and the Rashba says it is. What's the Nafkamina? Whether you need Hagalas Kalim. If the guy cooks Bishal Akum in the Kalim, do you have to do Hagalah or not? So the two deis are brought by the Mechaber, a Stam and a Yesh Omrim. The halach is when you have a Stam and a Yesh Omrim, you follow the Stam. You follow the unnamed Shita, which in this case is the Rashba. And therefore, it seems that the Mechaber holds that Machali Akam are a Cheftza Shel Isser. You have to treat them like Chazer. You have to treat it like a pig. The same thing. And therefore, it says the Shemana Mishka, if it's a Cheftza Shel Isser, what you're allowing is a person to eat Cheftza Shel Isser. You have to tell them. It's not just a gzera to not, do we want to avoid kir vadas? It's a chefta shal isser. It's mamish asser. And therefore, says the Shemana Mishka, you should have to tell the person when it comes to them eating pasakum, but them not knowing what they are eating. Okay? Good. 5 more minutes. Let's just discuss very quickly, to get the gedarim out there, how do we define what is pas and what is not pas when it comes to these halachos. So the Mechaber says here very clearly, below asru ela pas shel chameshes minei dagan, ava pas shel kitznis v'shel orez v'dochen eino b'chal pas stam shasur. It needs to be from the 5 grains. But it's made from rice or kitnios, so there's no isser. The Ramah writes later on in Vav. So the Rama says that those things which are even sweet, even if it would be mizonos, would also fall under the issue of pas akum as well. So if your neighbor made you a Danish, that would also be pas akum, and that would be problematic as well. And in a place where Mekel about pas palter, so they would also be lenient about mizonos. But we'll get to pas palter later on. How do you define what's pas? So there are three definitions that are brought by the Achronim when it comes to this discussion. The Aruch HaShulchan here writes in Chaf Aleph that in order to be pas, it needs to have tsuras hapas. It needs to have an image of what bread looks like. It needs to have be bready in the way that you look at it. And if it doesn't have tsuras hapas, then it's bishul, and that would be a chumrah. Because as we're going to see, bishul akum is much more machmer than when it comes to pas akum. And therefore, if lakula, you want it to be pas. You don't want it to be a bishul. You want it to be bread, so you can rely on kulas when it comes to pas akum. So he says it has to do with tsuras hapas, like when it comes to brachos, and in this regard. The Shach, and seemingly the Aruch HaShulchan later on, says it rather depends on whether you would separate challah from the dough or not. Is this something that would require challah, or is this not something that would require challah? Where do we do challah, where do we not do challah? So we have something called a blila ava and a blila raka. A blila ava means it's a dough. By a dough, you separate challah. By a blila raka, by a batter, something like pancake batter, so we don't separate challah. And that would be the rules here, according to the Shach, when it comes to defining what is pas or not pas. The Taz, the Prichadish, and the Vilna Gaon all say it depends on whether you're going to be koveya suda or not. Right? So, for example, noodles, you could have 100 pounds of noodles and you would never, ever, ever have to bench because they don't have essentially tsuras hapas. You would never have to be koveya suda on them. Right? That's why they invented Yerushalmi kugel. Why do they like you? What's the deal with Yerushalmi kugel? Because you can have Yerushalmi kugel after davening on Shabbos. It tastes geschmack, like you're having a fulfilling meal, but you can have as many pounds of Yerushalmi kugel as you want, and you never have to be koveya suda. And if you're not making kiddush or something like that by Shabbos, whatever it is, it gets you out of the issues by kiddush on Shabbos. So that's why Yerushalmi kugel came into invention, because you could have as much of it as you want. Now, lahalacha, this is how we paskin. So, that what that means is, if you have something that you, if you ate enough of it, you would be koveya suda, so then it would be considered pas akum. If you have something in which you can eat as much of it as you want, and you would never have to bench, so then it would not be pas akum. So that means the issue of bishul akum would apply to noodles or something like that. Okay? Let's just discuss two quick issues. When it comes to quick examples. So the first thing is regarding soft pretzels. What do we consider soft pretzels? Is it pas or not? So Rav Moshe has a Tshuva Negros Moshe in two places, Beis Lamed Gimel, and again in Dalid, and also he has a letter to Rav Yisrael Dardik in the Sefer Yigal Yaakov, where he clarifies some of his points, and he says there was a typo, Negros Moshe, I have to explain something to you. L'maisa, what it comes out is that when it comes to, what's the issue? How do you make soft pretzels or bagels? What do you first do to them?
Boil.
You put them in water, you boil them. So does that make it bishul now? So Rav Moshe says no, because if you put a bagel or a soft pretzel into the water, no one's going to eat it. It's not edible right now. It still needs the afia in order to finish it off. And therefore Rav Moshe says soft pretzels would be pas. And therefore, if what person is lenient about pas palter, so then you could have soft pretzels at the kosher stands of the baseball game or whatever you want it to be. So all those things would not fall under issues of bishul, and that is a kula when it comes to soft pretzels. Okay? The last thing to discuss is breakfast cereal. This becomes very important. We discuss Yeseres Mei Tshuva later on. We'll see that when it comes to breakfast cereals, there's a bit of machlokas. So, the Sefer Vezos HaBracha and Hilchos Brachos on page Reish Yutes quotes from Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Rav Yashav. Throughout the entire Sefer, he does not quote Rav Yashav by name. He always refers to him as Echad Migdoli Hador. I don't know why, but it always means Rav Yashav. So both of them say that breakfast cereal does have Tsuras HaPas. Because if you ate enough of it, you would have to. If you had like 8 bowls of breakfast cereal that it was a mizonos, then you'd have to make hamotzi. So Rav Shechter feels, and this is, I think, is the sheet of the OU as well, is that when it comes to breakfast cereals like Cheerios, you could eat as many Cheerios as you want, and you would never, ever have to wash or make hamotzi. They don't have suras hapas. And it looks like a small... Who eat? That's not... Cheerio does not look like bread. It looks like... I don't know. But it doesn't look like bread. And he says, but maybe you'll tell me it has an issue of Bishel Akum now, and therefore you can't have Cheerios, or you can't have, I don't know, homemade Cheerios from your next door neighbor. I don't know if there's such a thing. So what do you do? So what? How do we not turn into Bishel Akum? So Shechter says there's a sfeik sfeika. The first sfeik is that it might not be what we call Ola al Shulchan Malachim. It's not something that you would serve at a to a guest in order to honor them. The Chaznish has a shita that even if the Queen of England would go into her fridge at night and take out Cheerios and a bowl of cereal and eat them, that would still be it because the Queen of England would eat it, even in her pajamas, so therefore that would be okay. So Shachter says that's one suffix that we don't pass like the Chazon Ish. And the other suffix is that some poskim, Rav Moshe felt that if the food is made in a special way in the factory, that you cannot duplicate at home, so then Bishel Akum does not apply. No one here could probably make Cheerios in their house. You probably need special tools in order to do that. And since you have a suffix, whether we pass like Rav Moshe, a suffix like the Chazon Ish, so therefore it wouldn't be Bishel Akum, and it would not be pas akum as well, and it would, according to breakfast cereals, it would not have tzuras pas. One last thing, there's an interesting sheet of the Tashbates, and also the Knesset HaGadola in his Chuvos Bayi Chayi, who says that they avoid all mezonos desserts made by a guy, because it's not l'tzorech. It's not, you know, I don't need to have it. It's supposed to be that you have the bread or the pas made by a guy because, you know, we need, as we'll see later on, that bread is the staff of life and it's important to have all these things. But Entenmann's are not the staff of life. And therefore, even if the guy would make these desserts, it's not considered l'tzorech. This is not the sheet of pretty much any other poskim. But just to be aware, there's such a sheet when it comes to desserts.